Good afternoon. I'm Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of the St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this third Sunday after Pentecost, proper 6, year B. Our readings today taken from 1 Samuel chapter 15, from verse 34 to chapter 16, verse 13. Psalm 20, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 17, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. We need not fear, for His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, because His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace, for His Spirit is with us. We rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. We travel in faith, because His Spirit is with us. Amen. Majesty, majesty, majesty. Lord, we adore you and proclaim your majesty. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, we adore you and worship you in your holiness. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we adore and celebrate your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we adore you for all that you are and all that you will be. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Lord, we are sometimes afraid when we come to worship you. Wherever we are always aware of your almighty presence. We feel utterly overwhelmed by the power of your love, though it strengthens and encourages us. We know that in your love, that you have called us to witness and to service. It is your love that sends us out into all the world. It is your love that touches and changes us, and, as with Abraham, sends us on a journey of faith and obedience. Your love both calls and sends us, and it is only when we listen for your call and respond to your sending that we can possibly reach the destination which, by your grace and through your Holy Spirit, you are leading us towards. Amen. Our hymn, CPWI 409, Be Thou Our Vision. Pray the collect for the sick, proper six, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, A Change of Heart. A Change of Heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7b, we read, "The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Humankind looks on the outward appearance. In our humanness, we focus on that outward appearance, much of which can be false and misleading. What you see is not necessarily what you get. A lot of false pretense and sometimes paraphernalia, for example, hair and even body parts. If only we could see the heart, it would save us from lots of heartache, distress, and suffering. God does not look at the outward appearance, which is not only subject to change as growth and maturity takes place, but later degeneration, and which can give inaccurate and false impressions. The real person, the real you and the real me, is what is in the heart, the center of our being. The heart, the center of our emotions, whether stable or unstable. Our intellect, whether it is undergirded with good or evil ideas. And our spirit, That is the extent to which we are in a relationship with God. In our first reading today from 1 Samuel chapter 15, as Samuel goes to the house of Jesse on God's instructions to anoint from Jesse's 8 sons a new king to Israel to replace Saul, who has fallen out of grace, Jesse's sons pass before the prophet. He is moved to think that because of their outward kingly appearance, that this is God's choice. Samuel is reminded of God's truth. The Lord does not see as mortals see, as they look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. As the sons of Jesse come before Samuel, outwardly they were handsome, strong, and regal looking, features that would change with the passage of time, subject to the changes, the different stages of man, which lead to old age, degeneration, and a second state of helplessness. Once a man, twice a child. When God looked at the heart of David's brothers, God probably saw arrogance, self-centeredness, and a desire for position and power. Hearts that went through the motions of worship and love for God, but not really in it. Hearts and lips that went through the motions and empty words, but no real love and loyalty for God. When God looked at the outward appearance of David, God saw a young man, a mere boy, not with the strength and regal look as his brothers, but an outward appearance that could be developed and be available to be used for the fulfillment of God's plan and God's purpose. When God looked at David's heart, God saw a heart that was malleable, open to receive and obey guidance from the Holy Spirit. God saw a heart that even though young in age, was experienced in trusting God, seeking God's guidance, and striving for a closer relationship with God. God saw a heart ready and willing to obey God, even though the odds seemed to be against David physically. However, trusting that God was with him, David would attack and kill a bear or lion to protect the sheep that were in his care. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36. It would not be difficult for David to transfer the same level of commitment to the care of God's people. When God looked at the heart of David, God saw humility, loyalty, commitment, faith, and love for God. God saw a brave, obedient heart, one that would be willing not only to consult God's prophets, but would obey them whenever they spoke the word from God. When God looked at the heart of David, God was well pleased. Hence, David was described as a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. After David was anointed by Samuel, in the years before he became king of Israel, David continued to demonstrate the quality of heart that he had as a shepherd boy. He would use his gift of music to soothe the spirit of Saul. He would refuse the suit of armor given to him by Saul and would put his faith in God as he approached the Philistine giant Goliath with a staff, 5 stones, and a sling. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. Even in the face of persecution by Saul, David would not lay hands on the king, even though he had at least two opportunities to kill Saul. He would respect Saul as the Lord's anointed. David, after the death of Saul and as king of Israel, would show kindness to Saul's crippled grandson, the son of David's friend Jonathan, by restoring all the lands of his grandfather Saul. And you yourself, David said to him, shall eat at my table always. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 to 7. David would always consult God's prophet before making important decisions, and in humility would obey the word from God, even though it went against what he desired to do. He did not hesitate or argue when told by the prophet Nathan that he was not to build a house for the Lord, even though the day before the prophet agreed for him to have this honor. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. David as king remained faithful to God, and one of his first acts as Israel's king was to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence with God's people, into Jerusalem, making the city of Jerusalem both the political and religious capital of Israel. Truly a man after God's own heart. However, even David would have a change of heart. When he lost his focus on God, he would succumb to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He sinned against God. With a change of heart, he succumbed to the deadly sin of lust, progressing to envy, adultery, deceit, attempted murder, and finally murder. 2 Samuel 11 from verse 1 and following. However, to his credit, in his darkest hour, his love for and his obedience to God prevailed. When confronted by the prophet Nathan, he acknowledged his sins, confessed, took on the symbols of penitence with fasting. 2 Samuel chapter 12. God saw that his confession was genuine and restored him, changed his heart from its evil direction back to God. Unless the heart remains fixed on God, it is easy for an individual to follow the way of the world, the way of disobedience, the way of sin and death. Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 21, reminds us, there is nothing outside a person that going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. It is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. It is, therefore, important for us to understand that if one's heart is world-centered, it will be full of evil thoughts, hatred, envy, lust, dishonesty, anger, and the like. Those emotions will become thoughts, words, and given the opportunity, actions. If one's heart is God-centered, it will be a heart guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. There will be love for God, love for self as God's child, and love for others. This love will express itself in obedience to God and a life lived guided by the principles and precepts that Jesus taught us. This love would express itself in loving responses to the needs of others, whether those needs are physical, emotional, or spiritual. It will be a heart that demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. All this will be expressed in a life of obedience to God and a commitment to seek and to do God's will. The life of a true disciple of Christ. The question arises for all of us: is it possible to change a heart of stone, that is, a world-centered heart, into a heart of flesh, a God-centered heart? The prophet Ezekiel tells us that God is able to do this. God said in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, "A new heart I will give you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God is able to change a world-centered heart into a God-centered one. Do we have evidence of this? Yes, we do. There was a man named Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, who dedicated all his energies in trying to get rid of all who would follow Jesus, because he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. When he succeeded in scattering the disciples of Christ in Jerusalem, he secured letters from the high priests to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 9, verse 2. On his way to Damascus, Saul encountered the risen Christ, and he had a drastic change of heart. Saul the persecutor became Saul the apostle. He was chosen by Jesus to carry the message of the gospel to the Gentile world. He would travel hundreds of miles, suffer great persecution, beatings, stonings, and imprisonment for the sake of Christ and for the task that he was called by Christ to carry out. Paul, the Greek version of his name, would say in his second letter to the Corinthians, our epistle for today, he writes, "So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul speaks from experience. Christ gave him a new heart. Therein lies hope for all of us: a commitment to respond to the call to follow Jesus and allow ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit will bring about a change of heart for us. In Christ, we will have a God-centered heart, a heart full of the fruit of the Spirit, a heart of obedience to God, a heart dominated by love, peace, and justice, a heart that is not afraid to challenge the powers of the world with faith and confidence in the presence and power of God. A heart described by Charles Wesley in the 18th century out of his own experience: a heart resigned, submissive, meek. My great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Like Charles Wesley, we pray earnestly that God, through Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will write his new name upon our heart, the new best name of love. Amen. Let us pray. God of mercy and love, fill our hearts anew with your divine love. Fill our thinking with your touchstone of grace and understanding. Guide our judgment of others made in your image. Help us to be your instruments of reconciliation. Help us to overcome human reactions to people and events with something of your love for others. Forgive us when we doubt your power to heed relationship and make all things new. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, we draw near to you with thankful hearts because of all your great love for us. We thank you most of all for the gift of your dear Son, in whom alone we may be one. We are different from one another in race and language, in material things, in gifts and opportunities. But each of us has a human heart, knowing joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain. We are one in our need of your forgiveness, your strength, your love. Make us one in our common response to you, that bound by a common love and freed from selfish aims, we may work for the good of all and the advancement of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, our leader and our master and our friend, forgive us our imperfections and our little motives. Take us and make us one with your great purpose. Use us and do not reject us. Make us all servants of your kingdom. Weave our lives into your struggle to conquer and to bring peace and union to the world. We are small and feeble creatures. We are feeble in speech, feebler still in action. Nevertheless, let but your light shine upon us, and there is not one of us who cannot be lit by your fire, and who cannot lose himself in your salvation. Take us into your purpose, O God. Let your kingdom come into our hearts and into this world. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as the Mother's Union of our diocese celebrate 100 years of ministry, we pray the Mother's Union prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your love so freely given to us all. We pray for families around the world. Bless the work of the Mother's Union as we seek to share your love through the encouragement, strengthening, and support of marriage and family life. Empowered by your Spirit, may we be united in prayer and worship, and in love and service, reach out as your hands across the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Our hymn, CPWI 535, Oh, for a heart to praise my God. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, may God be above you to protect you, before you to guide you, beneath you to support you, within you to give you his peace, this night and forevermore. Amen. Remember to follow the regulations. Make sure you get your vaccine whenever it becomes available to you. And please be safe.
Let's stand up together and sing.
I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing.
Grace of God.